Are you ready to bring on the weird, Elijah?
Yeah, well, I'm ready. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah. I hope what we're doing is going to make us sound better.
Yeah, I mean, that's the plan, right?
Yep. We'll see how this goes.
You never want to sound
worse. No, sir. I don't know what we're going to actually call this thing. I guess it's just Travis Walton. Future us is we'll figure it out.
Yeah, I like Travis Walton. I don't know.
Fire in the sky.
Travis Walton gets the point across, right?
Yeah, it should. I mean, there's still a couple people running around that don't know who Travis Walton is. I knew of the movie, but I didn't really know the whole story before we started getting into this. And then a couple people are like, who? What? What movie? Huh?
Really?
Yeah. 'Cause I was telling one of the guys at work, hey, Dan. That's him. That what our upcoming shows we're planning to do, because he's listened to all of them so far. Like, he binged them in the last couple of weeks.
Hey, good on him, man. Thanks, Dan.
So I said about Travis Walton, he had no idea. So now he's going to know all about Travis Walton.
That's what we're here for. We're here to tell the people the facts.
And that's why I put us under education in Podchaser, along with 50 other categories. But what did I just see? I think we're pretty high in the categories on history on Podchaser. So if you go to podchaser.com, go under categories, sorted by rating. We're pretty high in history. We're pretty decent in comedy, actually. You have to scroll down. You have to scroll down a bit to find us, but pretty decent.
I would almost say we're barely a comedy podcast.
Right. We're more conspiracy, but that category, you actually have to search for that category. It's not just one of the first 24 you see on Podchaser.
I didn't even know it was a category.
Conspiracy? Yeah.
Yeah.
And the people, you can actually put in your, when you claim your podcast or you put in your podcast on Chaser, on Podchaser, then you can just put in any categories you want.
Hmm.
And then it'll just create new categories. Some are real, well, we're under weird. We're like one of like eight things under weird. And we're pretty high in weird.
Yeah, we are pretty high in weird. What are you drinking tonight there, Will?
Well, I was planning to drink this before we got started, but I'll get rid of it while we're recording. It's the old 8 days a week blonde ale that we did for the Patreon. It's fine.
Yeah, you got to get rid of that, man.
What are you having?
Well... Since we talked about this brand before, I'm having a Trogues. I'm having a hop knife.
There it is.
That's a damn good beer right there, buddy.
Is it?
Yeah.
Blizzard of Hops is pretty good, too. I like that one.
I haven't even seen that one. I got this. I stopped, I don't know, a few days ago and got this.
Was it in a variety pack, or was it a six-pack of that, or what?
Nah, just a six-pack of this. I got it for the recording.
Okay.
That way we can maybe get Trogues on board.
Huh? Hey. I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, well, they're probably pissed off at us, because
we poo-pooed on Mad Elf?
Yeah, we completely destroyed that.
It's the mystery flavor. It's the Airhead's mystery flavor.
It's not a good beer.
Yeah. No, it's not one I go to for Trogues, but Hop Knife, Blizzard of Hops. Well, I haven't had Hop Knife.
I had another Trogues beer that was really good, and I can't remember what it is. I thought it was something along the lines of Hop Knife, but obviously it wasn't called Hop Knife.
There's another one. It's like a blood orange thing.
I haven't seen that one.
What about Troganator?
No, I haven't seen that one either.
Perpetual IPA?
Perpetual IPA, I think.
Sounds familiar.
Is that a green bottle?
I think so.
No, I mean, the bottle's not green, but a green label.
Well, it's got a picture of the hops.
I think that might be the other one I tried.
And it's got gears. It, like, they sliced open the hops, and there's some gears inside of it. That's a cool design. I went to their website now. You know, that place isn't that far from us. It's in Hershey.
Is it really?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
That's not that far.
Well, come on, Trogues. Let's get on the sponsorship.
Blood Orange. I'd give it a shot. It's a cranberry and blood orange tart ale. I'd give it a shot, but how about those tart beers, man?
I don't like orange.
But it's blood orange. It's different.
Yeah. I don't like, what was it, New Year's Eve? I got that, what was that pack called? What was the brand of that beer?
Oh, I don't know. That was a different kind of night, bro.
It was.
So it was a week after. Damn.
Whew. Yeah, but it had a tangerine beer in it, and I absolutely hated that.
Too fruity?
I don't want the taste of orange. Like, oranges do something weird to me. I don't know what it is. It's like it gives me a weird sensation, like, in my nose. I don't know if it's, like, the citrus or something. It gets, like, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it, but it... So, orange stuff, even if I take vitamin C, it's the same way. Like, I get that weird feeling.
Hmm. How do you feel about grapefruit?
I love grapefruit, actually.
But that's a citrus thing, too.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it is. That doesn't do it to me too bad. It's like oranges and tangerines and, you know, those type things. But grapefruits, no.
What?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's all in my head. Maybe it's a placebo.
Maybe you should try the different kinds. Well, you just said tangerines and, you know, everything in that family. I was going to say try the seedless and seeded.
I like them, but I don't know. It doesn't.
They don't like you.
It's just weird. It does a weird thing to me. I don't like it. Like, it makes my nose tingle.
Like shellfish does to my mouth.
Ooh.
Oh, well. Some people think I'm missing out with shrimp and crabs and all that. I'm fine. I'll be all right. And lobster. Hey, let's go to Red Lobster. I'm like, yeah. Red Lobster. Chicken nuggets. Here I come.
I think lobster's overrated.
Ooh.
I know. Crab is way better.
Them's fighting words with some people.
I know. Crab is way, way better. There's not much taste to a lobster. That's why you got to dunk it in butter.
It's so much work, man. When you bring out my chicken nuggets, I can just start eating the chicken nuggets.
You don't even open a pack of sauce? You just eat them dry?
I have the option. I have that simple option.
That's true.
But with a lobster, there's cracking involved, and it's just work. Give me my food.
Well, should we?
Yep, I was going to say we should get this starty parted.
Yeah, we're about, what are we, like 10 minutes in? We haven't said one word about.
Holy crap. How do we? All right. It's not going to be 10 minutes in podcast time because weird things happen.
Yep.
So do you want to start on that night or do you want to talk about the crew for a minute?
Because we could
introduce the crew. I mean, that's kind of how, if you read down, I didn't find the book. I didn't start reading the book or anything. But if you read down the blurbs on his website, TravisWalton.com, I think is what it is. Yeah, Travis Walton, Travis-Walton.com. Then you can go to the incident, and it's condensed from the book, Fire in the Sky. And he starts out with that morning. All this stuff happened that morning, you know, leading into their work day, and everybody's working their asses off because they needed to get this done. It was a logging contract. It was in the Apache Sitgraves National Forest, right?
Yep.
Nothing special about this day. Just an ordinary work day. Good old Mike Rogers picks everybody up in his big-ass Dodge Imperial 1965 truck. Did you look up a picture of that thing?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Holy
yeah.
Crap.
Yeah.
That's a beast. I looked that up. I'm like, how in the world do six guys fit in this? You know, I know what a modern truck looks like, but a 1965 Dodge, is that what it is, an Imperial?
You know, is that what it is?
I'm pretty sure that's what it was. Yep. International. We loaded the chainsaws and gas and oil cans to the back of the 65 International. Are you on the TravisWalton.com?
Yeah.
The first thing, the incident, if you go, I don't know, like halfway down the page.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the first sentences in one of those paragraphs. That's a monster of a truck, of a work truck. That thing can go through some hell. That's when cars were cars, made of steel, probably. But it was a 1965 Dodge International that they were driving around in November of 1975. Just bumping up all the back roads and crap out in this national forest, 10-year-old truck.
They probably shook a few screws loose in their heads.
Uh-oh. Is that skepticism coming out already?
No. I don't. I'll reserve what I think till the end. It's an interesting story.
Yeah. Yeah, I have reservations until we get through the story myself. It's a lot to think about.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know if you want to read down exactly through this, or we just want to kind of skim it and talk about what these guys were doing.
Yeah, I don't know if we want to. Yeah, we don't want to really weird. We don't want to really read word for word, right?
Right. I don't think so. This is not an audiobook with two people.
No, I can barely read. So they definitely don't want to hear that.
Skipping over all the words. That day, November 5th. But anyway, it was the morning of Wednesday, November 5th, 1975. Isn't there a thing with remember the 5th of November? That was in V for Vendetta. Did you ever see that movie?
No, I never saw it.
It was a really good movie. Guy Fawkes. So they were, see here it says 7 men.
Mm-hmm.
To us, the 7 men working in Apache Sick Graves National Forest, it was an ordinary work day. Wasn't there only 6?
In the movie.
That's a problem.
Yep. In the movie, there were 6.
So somebody, they kicked out of the group in the movie. Probably the kid. Wasn't there one guy that was even younger than Travis Walton, who was only 22 at this time?
I think that kid was in the movie. That was, shit, which one was that? Was that?
I don't know. Wasn't there Steve? One kid that was just... Maybe. But through this story, there was a one guy that was only there for like 3 days.
Yeah.
This was like his third day.
That wasn't the Alan Dallas guy, was it?
No, he'd been there a while, Alan Dallas. He's the kind of... He may have been a kind of a bully in school, but he was kind of a roughneck. Kind of pick with you, you know, get you all riled up, and then, you know, get you all pissed off about stuff, and then he just kind of... laughs at your face.
Yeah.
One of those guys.
What a guy, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I've dealt with those kind of guys before. How about you? Poke at you, get you all riled up.
I've been that kind of guy.
Oh, my goodness.
Since we did say the guys, we should name them, right? Give them names.
Yep. Oh, I suppose.
So you got Mike Rogers, which you mentioned.
He's the boss.
And also Travis Walton's best friend, correct?
According to the movie, were they best friends for real? I know it was in the movie. We gotta stop mentioning the movie because that's for later.
Yeah, I think they were good friends because Walton ended up marrying Roger's sister,
Dana.
Dana, yeah.
And they're still married to this day, even through all this stuff. Is that a spoiler? Travis Walton makes it out in the end. He's gonna be all right. Spoiler?
Well, no. I mean, you gotta know he made it out, because how else would we have the story?
It's true. He could have just disappeared that day, and there would have been 5 guys up for homicide. And that would have been the end of the story.
Oh, they for sure would have got them, too. They were ready to put them behind bars. Basically, you hear of it all the time. They had to solve a case. Isn't it what they said about the making a murderer guy? That, you know, he was kind of a roughneck. Kind of trashy or whatever, and they needed to solve the crime, and boom, they picked the scapegoat.
Oh, they just pinned it on him.
Yeah.
Because he's meets the profile or whatever.
Yeah, so, I mean, same thing with these guys. They had to solve the crime, or what they thought was a crime, and they were just going to get whoever they could. They didn't care about finding a body or anything like that. They were just going to put them behind bars. Yep, these guys did it. I don't know where the body is, but he's gone. They killed him.
They can't explain it. This explanation they got don't make any damn sense We're just going to lock him up, close the case.
I ain't never seen no UFO out here in Arizona.
What's wrong with these boys? Arizona?
You know where it was?
Yep. That's where it was. So that means it's not real far from old Area 51.
Ooh.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing I didn't look up. I looked up the map and everything for when and where this incident happened and where they were coming from. Heber, Arizona, and Snowflake, Arizona, and the Sitgraves National Forest. But I did not look up how far that stuff is from Area 51. So, did you look up how far Heber and Snowflake were from Area 51?
I looked up the Apache Sitgreaves, the National Forest.
Oh, yeah.
Is 462 miles away.
That seems far as the crow flies.
It's almost a 7-hour drive.
Oof.
Yeah. But, I mean, UFOs don't drive.
Nope. They don't care about forests, don't care about mountains, they don't care about speed limit. They do what they want. It doesn't mean their home base was Area 51. That could have been Alpha Centauri.
That's very true. Oh, I guess the rest of the guys, we didn't even name the rest of the guys.
Ugh, listen to us. We're assholes.
Yeah, so we got Rogers and Walton, Mike Rogers, Travis Walton. Then you got Ken Peterson, John Goulet, Steve Pierce, Alan Dallas, and Dwayne Smith.
That's the boys.
Yeah.
At this time, they were pretty much all, well, they were really young guys.
Yeah.
22 years old, and they're just out there. I don't know, it seems, what was I doing as 22? I guess I was working. But, you know, as an adult, doing adult things. But not quite like these guys. It's still some pretty young men out there doing what they're doing. I don't know about Mike Rogers' age. Is he a little older?
Who?
Mike Rogers.
I think if he is, he's not much older, I don't think.
A couple years, maybe. But, yeah, they're all under 30. And I think Dwayne Smith was the youngest guy, wasn't he? Because he was the least experienced one.
Yeah, I'm not sure who the youngest was. There was one guy who had just started. Was he the younger guy?
I think they gave who, Dwayne? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I don't know. Because they're all made out to be like the best of friends.
In the movie?
Just in the reports of this incident.
Gotta stop saying movie.
We'll get to the movie. We'll get to the movie. Yeah, so they were made out to be like the best of friends or whatever. And one guy spoke up and was like, what the I've only worked here for like 3 weeks. I barely know the guy.
Right.
So that kind of makes the story a little more believable in my eyes.
Because he didn't have a loyalty necessarily to these guys.
Exactly. So he's like, what the hell? Well, no, I'm not going to make up this bullshit story just so you, I mean, for what?
Yeah, you guys are dicks. Is this guy trying to drop trees on me and shit? And
the other guy's swinging his chainsaw at me. I'm just here for a paycheck, man. So, yeah, I mean, so you got all those, you got those guys, then, well, I guess they finished up for the day, right? You want to just get into the incident?
Well, yeah, I guess we could. I mean, they were, you know, it was a typical work day, but they gave, I know I read it someplace, like, the one guy was just real young, but they gave Dwayne Smith the shit work, like stacking the logs. Because they were cutting down trees. The contract was to thin out the trees so that there wasn't so much brush in one place. And if there was a forest fire, it wouldn't just all go up at once.
Yeah.
They wanted to thin it out a little bit so they had a little, and make the other trees grow more healthy. That was the whole point of the contract that those fellas got. Mike Rogers and all the guys. Was it a comp? Did he have some kind of company, or it was pretty much just a private contract?
You know, that's a good question. I think it was, I assumed it was a company, but I never saw anything about a company.
No, it wasn't like Rogers Tree Trimming or whatever.
That'd be a good name, Rogers Tree Trimming.
it just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
I like it.
So your name has nothing to do with Rogers? and you'll just find a bunch of guys whose names have nothing to do with Rogers. But damn it, your company is going to be Rogers Tree Trimming.
That's what I'm going to do.
You're not going to put a D in there, are you?
Yeah, I'm doing a D.
Okay. That guy. They were working on the Turkey Springs tree thinning contract. So yeah, that's what they were doing. It was November 5th, and they were at the crest of a ridge running south through the contract. Fuel reduction is a process of cutting the thinning slash into lengths and piling up to be burned in the wet season. So that's what their job was. The guys would just, they'd have so many trees that they were thinning out, and then each guy was kind of supposed to be separated in a fashion, but they gave Dwayne Smith the job to pile up the logs that, the trees that were cut. So they were kind of crap trees. If Duke could just pick them up and pile them up somehow.
I'm sure they cut them down to size. They weren't like, they weren't falling like 200 footers and making them pick them up.
Here you go, buddy. Drag it over there.
Yeah. I'm sure they were cutting them down and he was stacking them that way. Can you, like, isn't that crazy? That's how work used to be done. Like that. Like, now they have, like, shit to drag the logs up the hill and.
I know. If you were good at the claw machine at the movie theater or the grocery store, damn it, you are damn good at picking up trees and moving around now.
Yeah.
What were they doing? So they were thinning the trees out, and Walton says here in his book that he was trying to keep his distance from the other men. They were coming too close. Some were less experienced than he was. So they were just falling trees wherever, and I'm with him. Dude did not want to get hit by a tree falling down. It's not a good time.
Right, yeah.
But then old Alan Dallas, he liked to poke at whoever. That's just kind of his personality. Mess with whoever. You get somebody riled up, then you're just going to keep getting that person riled up. You're just going to keep poking the beast. So what he did was he fell a tree super close to Travis. And that's one of the things that led the authorities to believe that maybe Alan Dallas has something to do with stuff. Because he's kind of the asshole of the group.
Yeah, and like you said, he's a roughneck. I think he did have, I think he had a criminal past as well.
Mm.
I don't know what the charges were, but I'm almost positive he did. So, naturally, they're going to look at the criminal, or the ex-criminal.
Exactly. Let's start with this guy. I mean, it doesn't not make sense. It makes sense in a sense.
I mean, it's profiling, but it... I mean, isn't right. That how you kind of have to start anyway?
Yeah, you'd think. But then that guy's going to be a dick about it. Oh, why would you come to me, man? Just because I got a criminal background. I just stole the juice out of the convenience store. What the hell? I only punched that guy one time. He had two black eyes? How'd you get both black eyes?
I got a big fist.
Punch him right in the middle. But they were... the way Travis explains it here... is everybody pretty much rode in the same place in the truck. Big old 65 International. So at the end of the day, 6 o'clock was time to clock out. It was done. And does it say here what time sunset was? I thought it did. I thought it was like 6:15 or something. It was November 5th, 1975 in Arizona.
Well, I mean, it had to be right around there because... the report I have, I'm looking at here, says they typically worked from 6 a.m. until sunset. And then they, just after 6, they finished their work for the day.
Right. Because that's kind of a thing that comes up about where the sun is and the sunset and all that stuff. So...
They actually, not to go to it, but they actually address that in the movie.
Right.
Yeah, so.
I mean, it's an important, like, milestone or key thing that needs to be known. So anyway, the way the fellows were set up in the truck, they put the smokers in the back seat. I think it was 4 of them in the back seat, wasn't there? And then 3 up front.
Yeah, there must have been.
There's Dwayne by the left rear door. John? J-O-W-N? Is that a typo?
That's a typo.
John. Supposed to be John.
Yeah.
John and Steve in the middle. And Alan by the right rear door. So, that, Alan Dallas was the right rear door, so the passenger side of the truck, but in the back, because all those fellas smoked. In the front, Travis sat by the door, riding shotgun, so he was the passenger door, and then Alan was right behind him. And then Ken sat in the middle, and of course, Mike was driving. They all sat in the same place, because the whole smoking thing. But anyway, they went down Rim Road. I looked up Rim Road. That I guess they just must have just named a dirt road. It's like an access road or whatever. Just a junk road.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what the temperature was there, but it was probably cooling down a little bit. They left the windows open so they could, because it was hot, dude. You're working all day like that, got all your adrenaline going, you're freaking hot.
Yeah.
It says the four in the back seat, they started smoking pretty much right away. And then they had the fresh air coming in through the window. It was nice. And the fellas usually nap. Somebody naps on the way to work in the morning because it's 6 o'clock in the morning. And because they drive from Snowflake right to the forest.
Yeah.
Which is from the Sid Graves National Forest is like 4 or 5 miles-ish. Well, to get to up on the hill, up on the ridge, is like 4 or 5 miles to Heber, Arizona. And then from Heber to Snowflake is 30 miles. So if you're driving 60 miles an hour, it's going to take you half an hour plus.
Yeah.
To get to the site. So you know you're going to be working your ass off, so you may as well have a nap, right?
Yeah, hell yeah.
And then coming down, they were bouncing over the water bars on the road. Do you know what a water bar is?
Yeah. Well, I think I do. Isn't that like washout, basically, on a dirt road? But it's like, it makes like rumble strips.
Right. I actually have to, in my work, I have to design where those get put in. And it's a it's not really calculations, but sort of. It depends on the grade of the hill. When they knock all these trees down to put an access road in, or a pipeline or whatever, you have to put in water bars, depending on the angle of the hill, so many feet, 150 feet, 200, 250 feet, but they're no joke, man. They're not just a regular old speed bump. They're big.
Okay, so I guess I didn't know what they were then, because that's not what I thought they were.
Oh, they're like a big-ass speed bump out in the dirt road, as supposed to divert the water, because you cut down all these trees in a row, and then the water's going to go to the path of least resistance, nature. So they put these water bars in to, when the water starts come rushing down, it'll just direct it back into the trees.
Mm.
Every 150, 200 feet, depending on the slope of the hill. It's pretty interesting. But bouncing up and down the water bars, that'll wreak havoc on anybody. But then something happened coming down those water bars.
Ooh, what happened?
They saw a light. Something was in the trees. And they said it was off to the right.
Yeah.
And how did this go? Isn't the sunset where sun... He said he idly assumed that the glow was the sun going down in the west. But then it occurred to him that the sun had set a half an hour before that. But then it would have set in a different direction, right?
Yeah.
And I think they were headed north. To get to Heber from where they were in the forest, to get to the highway, they were headed like north northeast.
Yeah, I think they said basically the sunset would have been the opposite way of this craft, or it was behind them, or something like that.
Right.
It was not where they see this light.
That's one of the arguments that I read someplace was, man, these guys know where the sun sets. What's the matter with them? Why would they assume that the sun's setting on the right when they know it sets on the left on their way out? My argument for that is these guys had just worked their asses off for 12 hours and their adrenaline was gone, and now they're just kind of, it's the end of the day, man. You're just kind of drowsy, almost, I wouldn't say drunk, but you're kind of a little foggy. You know what I mean?
And you're trying to make sense of this thing that you've never seen before. Nobody has really seen anything like this before. I mean, other people have, I guess, but like, you're like, oh, that it's got to be the sunset. Like, they probably just assumed they were going west at that point.
Right.
Or they were looking west.
Yeah. So it's just this crazy glow in the sky that they would have assumed is the sun. You know, and, you know, at first thought, that probably would have been my thought. It would have been, wow, look at that crazy sunset.
Yeah, they said it was like a reddish light, right?
Yeah.
Because they thought, I mean, that's where the name Fire in the Sky comes from. Because they said it looked like a fire.
Right. That was one of the first thoughts, too. It was like, okay, it's a sunset. No, wait a minute. The sun sets on the other side, and that was a half an hour ago. Oh, no. That's probably a forest fire.
Yeah. You think they'd still get paid for their contract?
If it went up in a blaze?
Yeah.
It's cleared.
Yep. Clear. All clear. Yeah, but you didn't do it. Well, son of a bitch, I started the fire.
No. Oh. Nature did it.
An act of God.
I wonder if that was in the contract.
It was.
That if an act of God, then they don't get paid?
No. There was no extensions or anything like that with the deadline, unless there's an act of God that prevented them from doing it. That's one of they. So I don't know if I'm jumping ahead, but they were behind on our contract. That's why they're working so much overtime. They're working their asses off.
Yeah, yeah.
And so one of the theories is they made this up. I mean, because you can't. Really, you can't fake a tornado. You can't fake, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So they were like, well, shit, I mean, this is a, we'll call this an act of God. We'll say this and we'll get out of the contract or we'll, you know, we'll get an extension or whatever. And that's what some people say the reason for the story.
I'm not all on board with that, though.
No?
No, because of reasons.
Oh, okay.
I have some thoughts on that, but we'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get there.
So they saw this light in the sky. Do you want to run down exactly what the guys did? I mean, I guess it was all from, this is from the book, so it's from Travis's point of view, really, but the guys were all freaked out. Mike could barely see it because he was driving. It was off to the right side of the truck, and then...
Yeah, so he's doing that whole, like, lean over the steering wheel trying to see it, but he's trying to make sure he doesn't hit a coyote or whatever the hell they got out there.
Yeah, right, exactly. He's smashing some other trees.
Yeah. Yeah,
this thing's crazy in the sky. What is going on? Everybody's flipping out, and everybody's checking it out, and then eventually Travis gets all jacked up. Mike, stop the truck! And he stopped the truck, and that's when he probably should not have stopped the truck.
Yeah. He said, it says, Alan yelled, my God, it's a flying saucer. I don't know if that's his accent, but I just assume, like, that just, I mean, it sounds cool to do it that way.
One of those old country boys, roughneck country boys.
Yeah. Out there felling trees all day. Well, son of a bitch, slap my knee. If that isn't a UFO, I don't know what the hell is.
And Dwayne's like, UFO, no.
UFO, no.
No, that's not really what he said.
And Dallas is like, I'm going to kill all of you. They're like, what? Oh, nothing.
I didn't say that. I didn't say that, fellas.
Like, Travis Walton, he jumps out. He goes looking.
Freaking maniac.
Yeah. They see it. Look, I got to be honest with you. I'd probably do the same stupid thing. If I see a UFO... And it's just chilling there? I'm going to run over and check it out.
If it's just hanging there, you just see it. Yeah, probably. I'm going to stop. I'm going to check it out.
You have to. Why wouldn't you?
Right. You know? Exactly. Now, in 2 years, when we're trying to get out of a forest contract and they listen to our podcast, they're going to listen to this and be like, yep, them crazy bastards are making this up.
Yep.
One has not been gone for 3 days. What the hell? He killed him.
5 days, dude.
I know, but...
Oh.
It's already been 3 days. He's gone.
Oh.
We're going to find a body any minute now. That crazy boy jumped out of the truck to go check it out.
Yeah.
Just like any other crazy boy would do it.
Yeah, hell yeah. And he's looking up at this thing. And then I guess they were like yelling for him or whatever. They're like, Travis, get back in the damn truck. And... I think he says, this could be in an interview or whatever, that he couldn't hear them. It was like he walked into I don't know what you would call it, but almost like an area where he couldn't hear outside noise.
That makes sense. If the engines, because I think that was described too, the engines are revving up, the turbines are revving up, and then it's just like a bubble of noise that he walked into.
We hear this a lot, that when they're around, all noise ceases to exist. I mean, the crafts typically are silent. It's like it envelops you in a bubble, like some sort of gravity bubble. You know, because the way they travel is their gravity engines or whatever they're called. I don't know what they call them, but they create this like they essentially fall.
They're falling away.
Like wherever the engine is pointing, it's creating like a pull to that area. So they are essentially falling, you know, whichever direction they're wanting to go.
Whoa.
So they could fall up. They could fall left, right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, wherever they tilt the throttle.
Yeah.
They don't have throttles in UFOs.
Well, whatever they have.
It's not a helicopter.
Who's to say? They might not even know. They might see our cars and be like, how the hell did they make those?
Right, exactly. So
they might see our technology and not get it. Like, they might have went from how we went to, like, a Model T.
Yeah.
Or, like, we had a steam engine. They might have went straight to a fucking flying whatever.
And they weren't greedy about their fission. They figured out fission. Or fusion. Fusion, all of them. They figured it all out first. They didn't bother with steam.
Yeah.
They didn't bother with steam. They didn't bother with combustion.
They just might not have those resources. They might not.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they might not have fossils for fossil fuel. Or, you know, whatever. Like.
Yeah, yeah. So they had to figure something else out. And it worked really good. And they weren't greedy about it.
Right. So their first vehicle is completely different than what we know. But they're like, what the hell? This is a 1975 model. Or I guess it wouldn't be seven. Like, this is the 1919 model. You know?
This is the first one.
So, yeah. So, I mean, he's looking at, he's checking his craft out. What the hell is it? The guys are yelling, get your ass back in the truck, Travis. And then he gets hit.
Something. Whether it was like a blast of air or energy or something.
They said it was a beam of light.
Now, doesn't he describe some place that he didn't see the light? He actually turned around to head back to the truck, and he didn't see it.
I don't know.
I think that's what I read.
It's, you know, I don't know.
Let me see. Mike was yelling at him to get back in the damn truck, but he looked back at the truck parked on the road, then he turned his attention back to the incredible ship, is what it says. And then he was startled by a powerful, thunderous swell in the volume of vibrations from the craft. Maybe it was in the podcast that I listened to, the interview, but he said in that, maybe he just, you know, prettied it up for the story, but I'm almost positive he said he turned back to the truck, and he did not see any kind of light from the craft. But everybody else did. And that's when he got thrown after the light. Right after the light, he got thrown someplace.
So he didn't see the light that allegedly attacked him.
Right, but everybody else did.
Maybe it was so fast it came down. You know, maybe he's looking up at it, and it came right for him, so maybe the other guys saw it. You know, like, if you get struck by lightning, you probably don't see that lightning bolt, but someone else could.
Right, exactly.
So maybe it was something similar to that.
But in this story, it says, the stunning concussion of the foot-wide beam struck me full in the head and chest. My mind sank quickly into unfeeling blackness. I didn't even see what hit me. From the instant I felt that paralyzing blow, I did not see, hear, or feel anything more. And then the guys in the truck freaked out.
Oh, wait a second. Right here on his website, he says he did see the light.
Hmm.
He said, It says, I ducked into a crouch when a tremendously bright blue-green ray shot from the bottom of the craft. I saw and heard nothing. All I felt was the rumbling force of a... That doesn't make any sense.
I ducked and crouched when a tremendously bright blue-green light... Blue-green ray shot from the bottom of the craft, but he didn't see or hear anything?
Oh, Travi.
That's a contradiction.
Yeah.
All I felt was a numbing force of a blow that felt like a high-voltage electrocution.
My dude got struck by lightning.
Was that what happened to him?
Yeah, maybe.
And then he was gone. Well, he didn't disappear then. The boys in the truck freaked out.
They did.
Apparently he was hurled backward. I guess he was... By the time his body was doing whatever his body was doing, his body arched backward, arms and legs outstretched, as the force of the blow lifted him off the ground and hurled him backward through the air about 10 feet. I think he got that description from the guys.
I would assume so.
I think he was pretty much out of it by that point. He was just, he was done. They got him, knocked him out, and then Steve goes, they got him! Dwayne's like, let's get out of here. And Alan's like, get this son of a bitch moving.
He shrieked hysterically.
Get this son of a bitch moving. Alan's losing his stuff. The toughest guy in the group, or supposedly, you know, on the surface, the toughest guy in the group, he's losing it. Mike didn't need to be asked. He was already on his way out of there. Down all the water bars, be damned. Well, just crashing into trees or whatever, getting the hell out of there. Is it after us? Go!
Yeah, I mean, he kept asking, is it following us? And it, from what I'm gathering, nobody answered him. It doesn't look like anybody answered him.
No.
He said, is it following us? He yelled over his shoulder. Nobody answered. Is it after us? He shouted again. Somebody answer this man.
They're all.
All you gotta do is look. Like, they're afraid to look. They just got their hands over their eyes. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
The erratically vibrating rearview mirrors only produced a blurred, flickering image of a faint yellow glow in the blackness. Goaded by a surge of terror, he stomped on the gas pedal. The old International went flying through the air over the dirt ramp of high water bar.
He said...
He was getting the F out of there.
He said they were going 35 miles an hour.
Can you imagine... I barely want to go 3 miles an hour over a speed bump. These speed bumps are like, they're like 8 to 10, 12 inches high.
This is straight up Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah.
Bo Luke, he went out and got, you know, hit by a UFO. And old, wait, did I say Bo Luke?
Bo Luke.
You know what I meant.
Bo Duke and Luke Duke, right?
Yeah.
Bo and Luke Duke.
Yeah, and old Luke, he said, screw this!
I'm getting the hell out of here. Uncle Jesse, I'm coming!
He jumps over a cop car.
What the hell's a cop car doing out here? I don't know. It don't matter.
He's like, is it after us? Somebody please answer me!
Boss Hog, save me! It comes smashing down out of the freaking woods, and the truck was in freaking... It kept going, but damn, it was a mess. But then they're like, oh shit, we just left Travis out there.
Yeah.
just, I don't know. I don't know if this is what exact... This is in the book, but it's kind of funny. Good hell, it looked like he disintegrated, Dwayne exclaimed. He did not disintegrate, Dwayne. He got thrown through the air. Calm down.
That's what Steve said. Steve said, no, he was in one piece. I saw him hit the ground.
But the guys were out of it. I do know one thing. It sure looked like he got hit by lightning or something, Dwayne returned. I heard a zap and like as if he would touch a live wire.
And then right after that, he said, hey, man, we better get back. Or we better go back.
Someone said it.
Someone said that he doesn't know who. I'll tell you what, it better be my damn best friend, Mike. Mike just ditched me. He was ready to roll already.
Mike wanted to go before Travis got out of the truck.
They were like ready to,
they're like, get out of here. He's like, I'm already going, buddy.
Like, they didn't even realize they're already, like, 40 feet away from it. He's already gone.
We gotta get out of here. I'm already gone.
But they didn't want to... the guys didn't want to go back.
No, they were... But then... Mike argued with them, though, right? No, man, we gotta go back. That's what the story says. The guys didn't want to go back, but then they didn't want to just be left out there in the freaking dark either at some freaking access road or whatever.
Right.
So then Mike's like, this truck is going back. Anybody who doesn't want to come, get out right here now and wait. We've been acting like a bunch of cowards. We're all scared. There's no denying that. We've got to do what we should have done in the first place. Oh, all right, Mike. Okay, you're right, Mike.
So they built a fire for the guys who didn't want to go, right? Isn't that what happened? Or did they all go?
I think they all went back, didn't they?
Oh, right. Yeah.
What was that? There was a thing about building a fire, though.
I guess that was when they were talking about it at first. And then Mike is like, you know what? Damn it. We're all gone. Because I sure as hell don't want to go by myself. I don't blame him.
So they got back up to where everything went down. And they pointed the headlights out toward where Travis... But, you know, the hovering ship happened, and Travis got blown back or whatever. Travis was nowhere to be found. He's gone.
He gone.
But they saw him get knocked out. Everybody lost their shit. They saw Travis get knocked out. They went back. Travis is gone, man. There was no way in that time. Well, I may be on the way back. But there was no way a wild animal would have came that quickly, come back, took Travis, and dragged him off. That quickly.
Oh, no way.
That wouldn't have happened. So then, now they're freaking out even more. They can't find Travis anywhere. This is where his body was. Oh, man, what are we going to do?
You got to tell someone.
And then, so they went back to... Is that when they went back to Snowflake? They didn't go to Heber. Heber was right down the road. They didn't go there. They went back to Snowflake, didn't they?
No, yeah, I think they did go back to Snowflake.
30 miles away. Imagine that freaking drive. Our best friend, our coworker, well, Mike's best friend, and the coworker, we just lost him in the woods, and you're going to drive 30 miles. Is everybody just silent during the ride back?
Yeah, I was wondering that, too. Like, are you silent, or is everyone just freaking the hell out?
You just shut down, because you're freaking out so much.
Or are they just, they're just, like, nobody hears anyone, because it's just, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Because, like, one guy's like, did you see it? And then, like, another guy's like, oh my God, I can't believe what I just saw. And they're just losing, like, it's just a mayhem in the truck because everyone is just freaking out.
For 30 minutes in the truck. Mike's just trying to get somewhere. But that was, well, they went to Snowflake, but that was about the end of the book for the perspective of those guys, right?
Yeah, I think so. Because then it goes into what Travis...
His experience. Holy crap. Should we take a break?
Yeah.
And then we'll get into Travis's experience. This one might end up with a couple of breaks. What do you say?
Yeah, it's gonna be a long episode, that's for sure.
Because we have the movie to talk about too, man.
Yeah, unless you just wanna scatter the movie in, you know what I mean? Or do you still want to just do that as its own little part?
Well, let's do it as its own part. We'll start at the beginning, you know, director and stuff like that.
Okay.
Woo! We're back.
We're back for some more of this crazy stuff.
This weird story. In fact, so weird, things got so heated, had to get a new beer. How about you? What are you drinking?
I got a Guinness Extra Stout.
An Extra Stout?
Extra Stout, yeah.
That's like two loaves in one.
Yeah. It's actually, for me not liking stouts that much, it's a pretty good beer. So, what are you having?
Maybe you do like stouts and you don't know it.
It's possible.
Well, right before dinner tonight, you know what we should do? We should take pictures of our drinks and share them to our social medias. That's what we should start doing. I don't think I'm going to do it right now, though.
Nah.
Anyway. My wife went to the store and grabbed dinner stuff, and she also grabbed me a six-pack of clearance beer.
You can't go wrong with a clearance beer, man.
No, I don't think so. 50% off? This is Great Lakes Brewing Company Christmas Ale. I gotta say, it's pretty tasty. I'm liking this.
Is it out of Mexico?
Yep, the Great Mexican Lake. Cleveland, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. You want to go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame sometime?
I mean, if I go to Ohio, I'm going to Canton for the NFL Hall of Fame.
I don't know where Canton is compared to Cleveland.
I think I looked it up before, and I think Canton, I want to say it's an 8-hour drive for me or a 9-hour drive. It's something like that. Because I also looked up how far of a drive it would be for me to go to Lambeau Field out in Green Bay. And that's like...
Ooh. Yep, that one's fine.
Yeah, I think it's... I want to say it's like 13 or 14 hours, something like that.
That's a long time in a car, man.
And I don't know if I want to fly in to Wisconsin, man.
A little bit windy out there?
Windy and snow and stuff. Plus...
Well, not now. Wait till July.
Well, I mean, I don't want to go to Lambeau Field in July.
Oh, you want to go for the games, man.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, of course I do. Yeah. Boy,
Packers versus Bears? Is that what you want to do?
Ooh.
My wife's all about the Bears.
I'm a big Packers fan. We'll see how they do this weekend. Well, for you guys, you already know, but...
right. I was trying to figure out what you were trying to say. I'm like, hold on. We're in the same time zone. We're in the same time stream. I thought you meant you guys as in me here at my house.
I mean, the listeners, they already know the outcome.
They already know what happened.
Yeah. Boy, I got us way off track, man. I'm sorry.
It's fine. That's what happens.
That's what we do. We get off track, and we eventually come back. Then we get off track again.
That's fine. We're all good. 5 minutes off track, little tangents, big tangents, some cosines. We'll be fine. See what I did there? Little math joke.
I thought you were going to cosine for me for something. I was like, sweet. I'll take the red Lambo, please.
Yeah, right. No one's going to look at me for a while. I'm in the middle of buying a house.
Congratulations.
Thanks. It doesn't feel good because there is $500,000 things of paperwork to sign. I'm pretty sure my soul went out the window some time ago, and my cash is soon to follow.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Not cash. It's not cash, but digital currency, you know, from the bank and stuff. I don't even see money.
We want to move into a bigger house, but I don't want to do the whole process again.
It's a nightmare.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess I'm doing pretty good because a lot of mine is all online. I don't have to go to a bank. I don't have to go to whatever mortgage lender or whatever. It's a lot of online stuff.
No, that's nice.
But damn it, here we go again. Getting off topic. When we last left our intrepid hero, Travis Walton, he'd been knocked clean out, and his fellows went back for him. And he was gone.
Gone.
Boys lost their stuff. Had to drive 30 miles to Snowflake, Arizona from where they were. We don't know what that adventure was. We do have an adventure of what Travis went through when he awoke. And it was not in a hospital on Earth, probably.
I don't think it is. I've never seen a gray in a hospital. That's what it was, right? The grays.
The way he's described everything, yeah. It was the grays, but in orange jumpsuits.
Yeah.
So, prisoners? They were prisoners. They were just poking at this human-type creature.
I mean, maybe they were just, like, mechanics wearing orange coveralls, though.
They were just mechanics.
Yeah.
And like, oh, shit. We done hit this thing. We got to bring it in here. We got to fix it up. What is this thing? They just stayed away from him, didn't they?
Did they stay away from him?
Yeah, his first initial encounter with those ones.
Yeah, because he, I mean, like a true American, he lost his shit.
No, you can't keep me here, blah,
blah. Yeah, he started screaming. Like,
well, he was, first he woke up, he was all confused, stuff was, you know, He's in a haze and he's in a fog. What is going on? He's in this weird place. Has no idea what's happened. And then comes to realize he's in some kind of hospital, but not one of our hospitals.
No, I mean, he had like a bitter metallic taste on his tongue, he said. His mouth was dry. He was really thirsty. Like, it was weird. He said, like, he was trembling, but it was like a mixture of exertion and illness.
Almost like a, I've never done any kind of drugs, so the only thing I know is you get too much caffeine in your system, and you're just ready to run up the wall. So it's like all this adrenaline, but not quite.
Yeah, I could see it kind of put that way. Like he's kind of shaky. Like, I know if I get like that, like sometimes like I feel like I want to throw up if I get too much caffeine in me. Like, yeah. 'Cause I'm so like, I don't know if it's like my adrenaline is pumping, like I'm going nuts and like I just feel like I'm going to throw up.
Yeah, you just gotta move. It's like you put so much caffeine in your system because you're trying to wake yourself up, but then it's too much. So it's like this anxious exhaustion or something.
Yeah.
But then he crashed.
Yeah, he said, I guess he must not have, like, oh, he didn't open his eyes at first. But then when he did, he saw this, like a blurry image. And I guess he could, like, make out, a light source above him. You know, you wake up in a hospital, like, emergency room or something like that. You got a light over you.
Yeah.
So he's probably thinking, shit, I'm in a hospital. But then I guess, what, then he
woke up and started to realize, you know, he's in a hospital, but then he saw them.
Yeah, I don't think they were in there at first, though, were they? Like, they weren't in the room at first, I think. I think he woke up and, like, realized, like he woke up, he saw the light, he, like, looked around the room and, like, didn't, I don't think he saw them yet.
Right, right. He was just waking up.
Yeah.
And he was checking out the room before he realized these not-humans were in the room with him.
Yeah, because he says, where in the hell am I? Oh, my God, the hospital. They brought me here to the hospital. Buddy, this is not the hospital.
No, no, no.
But he said, like, the room was really, really hot and humid. Like, the air, it was, like, almost stifling, he says. It was slightly stale, like it smelled slightly stale and muggy.
That's interesting. So, if we're to break that down, then that sounds like recycled air, but it was warm recycled air. It's just kind of cycling through a couple of rooms or whatever. If we're trying to think about this on Earth as what we know it, so it's just some kind of recycled air, but warm recycled air. It's already been used up. Maybe the oxygen. It's lesser. The humidity is definitely up.
Now, what's pretty interesting about this, what was that government project where they sent, allegedly, our people to work on one of the alien planets for like 10 years or something?
Was that the one with Andrew Bishago?
No, it wasn't Bishago. Was this Project Pegasus?
I was going to say Project Pegasus, but I thought that was Bishago.
That might have been Bishago. So it wasn't Pegasus then. But anyway, so they say...
Because they went to Mars with Obama.
Yeah, Bishago did. But this group of people, they went to... I guess it was the Grays planet. And they, like, worked and stuff. But they said... it was a binary star system. And they said that the planet was very hot. Like,
well, it was a binary star.
So what's interesting about that is he's saying this room is very hot and humid. So the two things kind of line up.
You think they zipped all the way to that binary star system with him in tow?
Well, no, I'm saying it's climate controlled.
Oh.
So they're making it comfortable for them.
I see.
So,
okay.
So they're used to the hot, the humid. Well, I don't know if they're used to the humidity, but they're used to the heat.
Yeah, that makes sense. So they're thought is, if they're comfortable, then this thing laying on our table will be comfortable too.
Well, yeah, see, at first I thought, oh, maybe they're trying to make it comfortable for him, but he's from Arizona. I don't think there's any humidity in Arizona at all. It's hot, but I don't...
Right, it's a dry heat.
Unless the only way they can make it that hot in there is to make it humid as well. You know what I mean? Maybe they just, they can't heat, I don't know.
It makes sense to me. Yeah, I know. I follow your logic there. Yeah, that makes sense. So they jack up the heat because that's what they, I don't know, maybe they've experienced it before. They know what the ambient temperature is of that location. So they're trying to make it comfortable for him. But if they came from a binary star system, well, they're making it comfortable for them too. But he wakes up and then he's confused and then he finally sees these not humans.
Yeah, he said when his vision finally cleared, not blurry anymore, he was looking in the face of a creature.
Horrible creature.
But he said it had luminous brown eyes the size of quarters. That is not...
That's not your... No, that's not your typical gray. Cause
right.
Quarters are not really that big.
No.
It would just be a bit bigger than a human eye. Really.
Yeah, right.
Luminous brown eyes. So they were glowing brown? What kind of shitty eye is that? Sounds like full of shit to me. Brown.
You're saying are you saying Travis Walton's full of shit?
No, I'm saying that these creatures with the luminous, the glowing brown eyes, they got shitty glowy vision. Brown, shitty, come on, dude.
I got it, dude. I'm following you.
That's not your typical gray, though. Their eyes are way bigger than that.
Yeah, from what we're told, yeah. They're large, very large, almond-shaped eyes.
Right. But these guys are just quarter. That's what so he says.
Yeah.
Maybe they were more like 50-cent piece.
50 cent?
No, not that guy. You're just cruising around, just picking up stray humans in his UFO. See, that's the kind of rap that I want. Just something goofy like that. Don't be fighting anybody. Don't be fucking shit up. Don't be blowing everything up. Just something goofy. Give me something goofy.
I'm trying to think. Who did that song where he's like, cruising down the street in my 6-foot? Because now all I can think is like, cruising through the sky in my UFO. You know?
That sounds good. Yes, I would listen to that rap. I like that. See, I want something goofy like that. You don't need to be so serious all the time.
Yeah. We know you got money. You don't have to tell us.
It's fine. Be ludicrous for a reason. Live up to that name.
Yeah.
And Andre 3000, he's hilarious.
You know who did live up to their name? Busta Rhymes. Because that dude was... He was always busting rhymes. No, I don't know what Andre 3000 did. What did he do?
I'm sorry, Miss Jackson.
He's for real.
He's for real. I am for real. How do we get here?
I don't know, but...
Come on back. Bring it on back.
Travis, he looked around. He's like, shit, there's three of them. So, like any of us...
And they're wearing orange jumpsuits or like some sort of orange surgical gowns or something. Which leads me to believe these guys are prisoners.
They probably are.
The inmates. They're just... They're on a chain gang. On highway duty.
They're just picking up humans. Yeah, he's like, shit, there's three of them. So like any of us would do, he starts throwing bows, dude. He swings an arm. He hits one of them, knocks it into the other one. And like, I guess after that, they're like,
And that man, shit, we need to get the hell out of here. This guy is for real.
That man, abort! it said, like,
I get out of prison next week. Come on, we gotta go.
He said, like, I mean, he's basically calling these things little bitches. Because he said, the one I touched felt soft through the cloth of its garment. The muscles of its puny physique yielded with a sponginess that was more like fat than a sinew.
Sinew.
The creature was light and had fallen back easily. He's like, all right, you little pussy.
What are you, like, you some kind of worm? What, yeah. What are you?
like you just tap him and he goes flying. You flick him on the forehead. He's like launching out a window. So at that point, he's like, hell yeah, I can take on all these bastards.
Bring it.
So I guess he jumps up and he just grabs the, I guess, what, he grabs the first thing he could find, right?
I think so. Something from the bench, whatever it was, transparent cylinder. It was like a beaker.
Because he like, whoa, he yelled at him. He said, keep back, damn you. So they like, apparently like, after he said that, they just stand there and like looked at him. They were kind of short, a little under 5 feet tall. You know, basic humanoids. I guess he says, like, two legs, two arms, hands, five digits each, head with normal human arrangement of features, but beyond the outline, any similarity to humans was terrifyingly absent. Oh, and they weren't gray either. They had, like, a white, marshmallowy-looking flesh, according to Travis. So, I mean, like, what were they, vampires? Were they goths? They're just pale, little scrawny things.
Yep, they were goth prisoners from Alpha Centauri. That's what I'm going with. Goth vampire prisoners.
Obviously. From,
what's another one out there? Not Alpha Centauri. Pleiades?
Oh, yeah. I think he...
They're not Pleiadians.
He saw one on his ship, didn't he?
Well, later on?
Yeah.
A Pleiadian? Yeah, that could have been a Pleiadian. A couple of them.
He said they didn't have any fingernails. Their hands were small, delicate, no hair. They said like their skin was so pale, it looked chalky, like an ivory color.
Well, I mean, I guess that's what happens when you don't hang out with the sun.
Well, what if they're from
a binary system?
Yeah,
that's all. That's a good point. You think they'd have some sort of pigmentation?
They'd be tan as shit.
At that rate,
you know,
perpetually. That's why we can't see them, dude. If they live in a binary system, everything's dark as to not absorb all that heat. They're dark. Their ships are dark. That's why we can't see them. At night, anyway.
I thought dark absorbs the heat.
I don't want to hear your logic tonight. It's true. It probably does absorb the heat. Here? What about there?
I don't know. Oh. He said their eyes had brown irises.
Oh, so when he got a closer look at them.
Yeah, it was twice the size of a normal human. Nearly an inch in diameter.
Still not that big.
Oh, he's saying the iris was so large that even parts of the pupils were hidden by the lids. So, they had eyelids. What? Okay. At what point do you need to evolve to where part of your eyelid covers your pupil? There's no purpose to that.
Is that helpful in a binary system, though?
I don't know. Never been there. maybe. Maybe it helps to kind of limit. Maybe their pupils don't dilate like ours do.
Oh, so their lids take care of
them. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
But the irises were brown.
Yeah.
Those glistening orbs had brown irises twice the size of those of a normal human's eye. Huh. But then, So he was screaming at them. He was screaming questions at them, right? And they did not respond to any of his questions.
Nothing.
Their mouths never moved. There's no kind of motion. The only sounds he heard were those of his own voice and his own movements.
That's weird, man.
And then they just left. Like, this dude is crazy. We need to get out of here.
Yeah. I mean, it's like if you walk into the, you know, like a silverback's cage, and the thing starts pounding his chest and throwing shit everywhere. You're like
nope.
We better get out of here. Same thing, right? Like, my God, this human is losing his mind.
We're just here to help you, man.
Ooh, maybe they will.
yeah, that's all he hears. He hears the back. Yeah,
so they hightail it out of there. They're like, whoop, 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 whoop. You know, like the Three Stooges, man. And then he grabs
Like, one of them, like, tries to poke the other in the eyes. He puts his little dainty fingers up there with no fingernails. One's, like, slapping.
Ugh, wise guy, hey?
So he was like, Travis is like, fuck this. I'm going to grab something. He grabs that clear tube you're talking about. I don't know what it is. It just says,
I don't know, like, something. Clear tube, beaker, just stuff. Nothing was really a weapon he could use.
Yeah. So he starts looking for a way out. He says, I'm going to get the hell out of here. So he noticed, I guess, they went out and they, like, went to the right, I believe. So he was like, screw, I'm going left. I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't just go kick their asses. Like, you know they're little weaklings.
Just go push them.
Yeah, down. Go fight them. And say, hey, teach me how to fly this son of a bitch. Let's go.
There's marshmallows. You push them down, they bounce back up.
Whoa, maybe they would. You got to think they're top heavy with those big ass heads.
Right.
You know, like, they just go a few degrees off kilter. They're going down. And he knows how to knock things down. He was a logger.
Those guys do not get drunk. Right, exactly. Those guys don't get drunk. They'd be too top heavy. You start spinning, the whole thing just starts, everything just starts falling apart.
So,
just get a little tipsy, you're on the ground. You're done.
Yeah. So he's like, he's looking for a way out. And I guess he like came to this room, right? Yeah. And it basically, the way he describes it, it sounds like a, I don't know, like a planetarium. You know, this room that he's, it's like a dome ceiling. It's about 10 feet high. There were these three rectangular outlines resembling closed doorways. So there's nobody in the room. He looked around. He just saw this, like, this high back chair. And he thought there might be somebody sitting in it that he couldn't see him from behind. So he's, like, coming up to the back of this chair. Like, I expect, like, Dr. Evil to spin around or Claw, the, you know, what's the name?
Inspector Gadget?
Like, yeah.
There's just this hairless cat with pupils the size of, not quarter, well, the pupils are the size of quarters, but then the eyes are the size of 50 cent pieces.
Maybe they're just like dimes or nickels. You know, like a little bit bigger than a normal cat. Just like their eyes were a little bit bigger than ours. But there, I guess, he comes up to this chair. There was nobody in it. So, I guess he sits down in a chair or something like that? And he's like...
Yeah, he's just like, all right, I'm going to check this out. Like,
I don't think I would do that, man. Like...
No, all this crazy shit happening around me. All these alien, like, you know you're not in the right place. And all of a sudden you're just going to sit down and be like... I'm going to fly my ass out of here.
Let me start pushing some buttons here. Dude, no. That's like if I got in... I've never been in a cockpit of a plane. I'm sure as hell not pushing buttons when I get in there.
No. Nope. Because that's what happened to Independence Day.
Oh, yeah.
I forget what the guy's name was. He got in the fighter jet, and he just starts flipping buttons. And all of a sudden, he's like, oh, no. He turned the missile on. He's ready to fire a missile. He hasn't even taken off yet. He flips that down, and I think that's where things went wrong.
Was that Jeff Goldblum?
Jeff Goldblum was in it, but it was Randy Quaid who was the drunken crop
doctor. Oh, right.
He got, because he was a fighter pilot in some war. I don't remember what he said. But that, I think that's when things went wrong for him.
It's like riding a bike. You do it once, you can do it forever.
And he flips the button, missile ready to launch. Oh, shit! Oh! Flip it back down. So then he has to sacrifice himself. It's a mess.
There we go. Going off again.
It's still aliens, well, damn
yeah.
It.
But he sees, like, I guess it's like this, sort of like a control center or some shit like that.
Yeah.
And he said there's, like, 25 color buttons ranging, like, 5 vertical rows. He didn't see any symbols or words written on them, so I guess it's just...
He's about to get down some EDM. It was the early days of EDM, electronic dance music. He's got that box with all the different colors. Whoop, whoop, ba-doop, ba-doop, whoop, 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 whoop.
That's pretty good, man. You could be a beatboxer.
How about that? Need some practice.
So I guess this son of a bitch, he's like, all right, green means go. Let me hit the green one. Nothing happened. And then he said he pushed another button, I guess, and then lines on the screen started to move. And he pushed another green one. And then he starts seeing, like, basically, he sees, like, it's like a star map. And then, like...
Is that what he saw?
Yeah. And then it... Yeah. So, apparently, I guess, there's this, like, handle, this, like, I don't know, like, you... I guess, like, you would see in, like, a fighter plane or something. Like a joystick.
Like like a throttle.
Yeah, like a, you know, like a joystick, you know. So he starts moving that thing around. The stars start spinning. He's losing his shit because, you know, he's getting dizzy as hell, I'm sure. You know, you go to IMAX, that thing starts spinning like crazy. Everybody's throwing up. So then he was like, oh, shit. So he just, like, he lets go of it. And then the stars stopped moving, but they remained where they were when he released the lever. So, like, you know, he's, like, spinning this thing around. He lets go. Boom. You know, they're pointed at, I don't know, Sirius B. So he didn't know where he was. He didn't know if he was on the ground. He didn't know if he was on Earth. He didn't know if he was on their planet. He didn't know if they were flying. And he thought...
He didn't know if he was on a cockpit.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, man, better stop this. We're going to freaking crash.
Yeah, so he that's what he thought. He said, shit, I better stop because we could crash. I could throw it off course. We'll end up lost. So he was like, nah.
I'm no pilot.
Yeah. Why'd you go Australian?
I don't know. I just felt like it's no knife. I'm no pilot. It's just, it felt like it needed to happen.
It's a fun accent to do. I love it. So he, like, he gets out of the chair. He, like, goes over. He's looking at the rectangles that, like, look like doors. And he put his eye up to the crack. He couldn't see any light. And he's thinking, like, how do I get out of here? And, oh, yeah. And then he's like, he goes back over towards the chair. And he heard, like, this little sound. And he turned around. It's a fucking human, dude. A human walked in.
Why is there, out of nowhere, just this person came in. Could that have been, was it a human? We haven't gotten into it yet, but was it a human or was it a projection of a human? They got all this technology to kick it around the cosmos. Why wouldn't they have this technology to just project this kind of bubble-headed person? 6 feet, 2 inches. Somehow he figured out he was 6 feet, 2 inches.
I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
But this dude...
That's tall enough. Taller than the aliens he just encountered.
Yeah.
The non-humans.
This guy was different than them, for sure.
Oh, yeah. He wasn't a regular astronaut type uniform. It was just his head was just in a bubble. Helmeted head barely cleared the doorway.
This dude was jacked.
Right. Extremely muscular and evenly proportioned, 6 feet 2 inches, all that muscle? Yeah. He wore a tight fitting bright blue suit of soft material like velour.
Ooh.
So it was a soft looking. Like, whoa.
Isn't that what, like, those pants are that, like, all the girls used to wear and say, like, juicy on the ass? Or, like, they always say, like, something weird on the ass? Weren't they, like, velour?
Is that velour or is it some kind of weird spandex?
No, these were, like, this was, like, a thing back in the day. They were, like, sweatpants that, or, like, a fleece type. I think it was velour.
Really?
Yeah, you don't remember them?
I know there were secret messages on the asses. That's all not so secret messages.
No.
I didn't know it was made out of velour.
I don't know if it is either. It just looks like it. I don't know. If you know.
Fuzzy bottom.
If you know what this is called, send us an email or send us a message. But don't be rude about it just because we don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't be rude.
Don't be rude.
So Travis is flipping out. He's like, oh my God, there's somebody else here. Some other human. He's going wild. But the guy, this man, the human, just took him silently, He wasn't. So somehow Travis just felt fine with this human type person leading him around. He was fine with this guy because, another human. He let him out of the room, and they went down some other hallway, and then they went into this metal cubicle type area. Then a doorway the same size as the other door slid open, and then they were suddenly in this even bigger room, which that's what it was. He had just stepped out of the ship that he was on into a bigger ship, maybe like a hangar area, but maybe it was a whole other ship.
Like a hangar on a mothership, dude.
Yeah, with other ships similar to the one he just come off of in the hangar.
But there were other ones too, right? That like different style ones, I think.
I think so.
I think that's what I had heard. I think maybe it was in an interview with him or something. He was saying that it wasn't just ships like he got off of. It was other styles, too.
So what does that mean? Like, one was maybe the one he was on was like a paramedic type one, and other ones are fighter type ones?
Yeah, you could probably say it like that, yeah.
Maybe others were some sort of like what we would say as like a tow truck type thing, some sort of vehicle transport. Not to transport personnel, but to transport vehicles.
Yeah.
There was all kinds of stuff in there. But it was this massive area. He had just run around this one ship, but then he come out of it, and there's a massive, massive area with even more things in it.
Yeah.
And then the guy escorted him across this open area, and they went back into another hallway, about 6 feet wide and 8 feet high, typical hallway. Then at the end of the hallway, they went through some more doors, and they went into another room where there were two men and a woman standing there around a table. And somehow he felt fine around these human-type people. But the depiction really makes me think of what we've already talked about with the Pleiadians.
Yeah, yeah. It reminds me, as soon as they described it, that's exactly the pictures I saw when we did that episode on the alien races.
Exactly. Over 6 feet tall, this incredible physique for men and women, without blemishes, super smooth skin, no wrinkles, freckles, nothing like that.
I'm almost positive, too, that all the pictures I saw had them in blue, like, jumpsuits, onesies, whatever you want to call them.
The Pleiadians, too?
Yeah. Yeah, back when we did that episode, when I was looking at pictures, I'm pretty sure they all pictures had them in blue, like, suits.
Right. And just these beautiful, beautiful people in blue suits. Whether that's a projection of something else, because they're hiding something else, or that's just what they look like. They look like these gods.
Maybe they were reptilians. And they just did some shape-shifting. That's why they didn't talk to him.
Oh. So like, what's his name from Men in Black?
Sure, which one?
The guy who put on the human costume. The human skin. Remember him? Right in the beginning? This stupid human skin.
That guy did a good job acting that, man.
Wasn't it Vincent D'Onofrio?
I have no idea who it was.
I thought it was him.
You might be right. I don't know. Let's get back on track.
Yeah. So he felt comfortable with these human-type people, these beautiful people, but they wouldn't talk to him. Well, somebody please tell me where I am. What in the hell is going on? What is this place? But they were just silent. They wouldn't. They had nothing. They didn't care what he had to say. But he just went along with what they were doing. They lifted him easily onto the edge of the table, and he became wary and started protesting. Wait a minute, just tell me what you're going to do. But it was fine. At first he resisted, but then he looked up at the ceiling, and then the woman had what looked like an oxygen mask and just put it right over his face, and then he blacked out. Did they have those in the 70s?
Probably.
Is that what they look like? He said, I saw that the woman suddenly had an object in her hand from out of nowhere. It looked like one of those clear, soft plastic oxygen masks, only there were no tubes connected to it. The only thing attached to it was a small black golf ball sized sphere. So it was a Bluetooth oxygen mask. It's all coming together.
It's like that little that Inogen thing, you know, that oxygen tank that now you can just like throw over your shoulder like a little purse. Have you seen that?
Oh.
Yeah, it's like a.
No.
So you don't have to wheel around an oxygen tank anymore. It's just like this little. You just throw it over your shoulder like you got yourself a new purse, and it's a little air compressor. It's pumping it. What? Yeah, it's pumping air into your nostrils.
It's just pulling the air out of the air. Just pulling oxygen from the air.
Your guess is as good as mine. I don't know how that thing works.
See, I was making a joke about the Bluetooth oxygen mask because I saw there was a meme. I think it's been floating around for a couple of years, but it was a picture of this guy standing outside his front lawn, and he was watering the lawn. But it was a wireless hose. It was just the cap of the hose, like where the grip is. It's a Bluetooth watering hose, and it just had this black thing on the bottom of it. Like, where's the water coming from? It's just coming out of nowhere. It's just, oh, we just got this tiny wormhole coming from the hose bib over to the nozzle.
I can't believe you don't know how that thing works. I'll explain it to you after the show.
Finally, somebody's going to explain it to me. But that's what this thing is. It's a wireless oxygen tank.
Yeah, apparently he like went to grab it. He was like, nah, fam. He went to rip that thing off. Before he could even do that, he was out.
Done. Everything started turning gray. There was nothing at all but black oblivion. And then, suddenly, he was on a highway.
Oh, yeah, he was. He woke up. Boom. There he was. Back on Earth, buddy.
Oh, man. We should take a break. We can't. I'm going to leave you on that cliffhanger. Got back to Earth. Hold up. He's back. He's on the black high on the pavement. He sees those yellow lines on the left side. He sees those white lines on the right side. Back. He's on Earth. Gravity's happening. Whoa.
Boom.
Time out. Time for a break.
Yep. We'll see you after this one.